Does anyone want to, sorry, any of the elected members foreshadow an item on the agenda where they might have a conflict of interest? Oh, I have my microphone lit up. So, Councillors Hutchinson and Crossland, can you hear the mayor?
All good.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Just the people. We've finally fixed the online sound. It's just the people in the room can't hear me now. Good. Go home, log in. What I was asking Councillor Schilling, oh, that is better, isn't it? Can you hear that? Yep. Ah, the volume control. Mr. Bowden's man of resources. Whether any elected member wished to foreshadow a potential conflict of interest, there being none, we go on. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the General Council meeting 23rd November? Moved, Councillor Telfer, second, Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. And now corporate reports. The big one in a sense, page 25, review of confidential items. Does any member wish to pull out any of those items for more discussion? If not, that would suggest you're happy to go with the recommendations. So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor and any further discussion, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you to staff for going through all of those and the recommendations. Now, in relation to the policies, painful as that may be, I think we probably should take them one by one to some extent. So the leasing and licensing policy, page 111. I'm just asking staff whether the mayor had any comments on that.
Through the chair, up on the screen, you'll notice that we have added in the feedback that we received on this policy.
All right, so that was uncontroversial, I see. What about the social media policy? Can we just ask?
We've done the same.
Same thing. Petitions policy, I don't think there was any change, any comment? And the policy framework, I don't believe there's anything from elected members on that. So perhaps we can actually take a big leap forward. Would someone like to move all of those policy reviews, including the policy framework, en bloc? Moved, Councillor Mason. Thank you. Councillor Masika seconded. Any comments? Of course, you can ask comments or I'll allow... ask questions or I'll allow comments on any of those policies. Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to raise an issue about the social media policy and specifically about the use of the council Facebook page and the specifically the reports on council meetings. Now, this is a council platform and that particular presentation on there is to avail the community to decisions made by the council at the previous council meeting. However, the last one was concerning where there was on two occasions an interpretation of your presentation, Mr. Mayor, that indicated dissent or disquiet or maybe posing an alternative view about council decisions. Well, sadly, I think there is only one view to be expressed to our community, and that is the decision of this council. No other interpretation, no other reflection, and no other incitements to the community, and I would like that picked up in this policy. Now, what we do on our own Facebook or Twitter or Instagram pages...
Councillor Hull, what you're suggesting is in order, but do you have a written version of the amendment you're going to move?
Well, given that elected members have been removed from the policy, I put it to the Chief Executive Officer, how do we get around that?
Well, you know, Councillor Hull, very well that in this meeting, we're discussing a social media policy that you had a little bit of time to have a look at, and you're telling us that you want to bring an amendment. I think it's actually in our meeting procedures that if you have an amendment, you are meant to provide it in writing. I know that doesn't often happen, but I'm simply asking you whether you have something prepared.
I take your point. However, this has all come to light since the last council meeting.
Right, so you don't have it prepared, so please carry on with your speech. Thank you.
Well, the amendment, if I was going to move it, is that the mayor or the spokesperson of the council only reflects the decision of the council, and no other ambiguity should come into it. It's pretty straightforward. And that would be my amendment.
Are you moving that way?
Yeah, to simply reflect the council decision and nothing else but.
Right. I'll just wait for Ms. Moritz to get something in writing. Now, this is a curious one because the mayor is not meant to enter into debate, but with the leave of the meeting, I think it's probably important to give the mayoral perspective on the sharing of that message and the problems that might arise from the amendments.
Just to make you feel comfortable, Mr. Mayor, I welcome that.
Yep. So not many, but some of the decisions that council takes are controversial. Some are the subject of passionate opposing views within the chamber. Now, while I will, in those reports on council meetings, I will declare the decision of the meeting, there are times when I'll acknowledge that an issue is controversial or that there were two sides to the debate. If I give one example, a current example would be in relation to the Howick Cove bridges. I could give a very straight black and white account of the fact council has unanimously approved for the bridges to go ahead, but that really wouldn't give a true picture to those who are concerned about their views not being in accord with councils, members of the community who saw it differently. So it's therefore important in a situation like that to acknowledge that in the debate, opposing views were considered, environmental factors, financial factors, community. There was a majority community opposition to the decision that council finally took, because council has a number of factors to consider. So I simply make the point that if all we wanted to do was say, here are the council decisions, make sense of that, then you could just have a one-pager that goes up on the screen. But videos, I'm told, are popular. The mayor as the spokesperson is the obvious person to do it. There is a little bit of colour and movement with it, but essentially it is a report on the highlights of the council meeting. So that's how it is from the mayor's perspective. And I think it's only fair to give Councillor Hull a short extension to be able to respond to what I've said, and then we'll see if there's a seconder.
Mr. Mayor, the last presentation by you on the council Facebook page was the one of concern, and there was two incidents. One was about plastic grass, and the other one was about the council decision to hold the 25-year celebration for the Marrying Cultural Centre. And in both of those, the community could have actually closed watching that, thinking that, well, doesn't seem like the mayor agrees. Maybe I should object, or it was concerning enough to think it was dog whistling to the community about the decisions made. And I don't think that there's obviously a fine line, and I personally believe you cross the line. And that's what I'd like to see stopped, that basically, if you're going to be our primary spokesperson, then you should reflect this council's decision and not put other interpretations on that. And that's my strong view.
So I think you've put your case, Councillor Hull. Is the amendment seconded? Last chance if there is a seconder. No, the amendment lapses for want of a seconder. Is anyone else speaking in the debate, either about the social media policy or any of those other policies? No, then I'll put the motion as is, the motions as they are. All in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. So we go on to local government reform. Not that it's controversial, but from the chair, I just wanted to highlight that the state government recently, in its wisdom, has decreed that there will not be election signs for elected members or candidates on public roads. There, it remains for state and federal elections, but not for local government. And we, of course, are merely the creature of state government. So if anyone would like to buy 490 Chris Hannah posters, see me afterwards, very useful as tree guards. I just highlight that for members as a matter of interest. There's not really any debate about it because that is now the law. But
I was just going to add quickly, we are going to amend our website after tonight as well to make it really clear on our elections page that candidates for local government elections won't be able to have signs on public roads. You can have them on private property, but not on public roads.
Councillor Valeska, you want to move?
I'm happy to move it.
You can speak to it if you wish.
Yeah, look, I think as far as election posters go, sorry for fellow council members who have some or intending to use them again. I think it's a good idea. I'm a little bit disappointed that it didn't cover the other two levels of government, or at least the state government, if it was state government policy. I understand that. Because they are actually better resourced to target their audience more effectively, whilst some would argue that local government candidates don't have the resources, so posters are effective if people are paying attention. I'm happy to move as is.
Seconded. Councillor Schilling, any opposition or question, Councillor Hull?
With the council members' allowance, in attachment three. Can it be better explained? It obviously indicates that if somebody's going to be running for state or federal parliament, leave is automatically granted. But does that mean that it's an obligation that particular elected member, once indicating they're running for state and federal parliament, automatically is placed on leave of absence, or is it a matter for them to apply?
No.
Ms. McKenzie.
Yep, so through the chair, no, it is correct in that you're not entitled to receive any allowance or reimbursements for expenses once you've declared and during that period.
And Ms. McKenzie, it might have been a slightly different tack Councillor Hull was taking. Does one have to apply for leave in the usual way?
No, because it's through the legislation. So it's legislated now that you must.
That clear, Councillor Hull?
No ifs or buts. Okay, yeah. That's good. Thank you.
Now, we've had a mover and a seconder. Is it a question?
Yeah.
All right. Let's proceed with questions of a limited nature.
Yeah, I Councillor just want Lewis, to know if we'll be publicising no posters a lot earlier than the elections, just in case people decide to get some made.
Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, yeah, we'll place it on our website straight away now that policy has essentially gone through. And then as we start to promote it, we will make it very clear in our candidate packs that you're not allowed it, and we'll promote it through our normal election processes.
I'm highly confident that the LGA would also, in their candidate information kit, would make that very clear, I would think. Councillor Schilling, quick one.
Yeah, just quickly on the the candidate front that Councillor Hull raised. So if you become a candidate, is it during the declared, say, writs of the election, or if I became a candidate tomorrow, does that mean I'm null and void until after the election?
No, it's from when the writs are issued.
Okay.
So you've got another month or two. Anyone who wants to make up their mind? Very well. We've had a mover and seconder, no further debate. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. And just a fun fact that when the Mayor was in Parliament, he moved an amendment to the state electoral law to limit the number of election posters to 200 per state electorate. But of course, the major parties at that time weren't ready for such a radical move. And that's history. We move on to, is it 275? Is there anyone interested in the Stormwater Authority? No, so we don't have to actually mention the topic, do we? We're just checking with the councillor whether there has been interest expressed. No? It does it? Councillor Hutchinson, just checking.
I did send a message through that I've changed my mind. Thank you.
Right, okay. That was the question. Thank you for clarifying. There being none, Councillor Hull's putting his hand up. So any other nominees? No, then after someone to move an appropriate motion if they wish. Councillor Schilling, sorry. Councillor Hull's just leaving the room. Conflict of interest, a material conflict of interest noted. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Pryor. Any further discussion? Councillor Hutchinson.
The role actually requires skills within stormwater management, and that's why I decided not to put my hand up. So I'm not sure what years of experience members have around stormwater management and able to demonstrate the selection criteria. So just thought I'd point that out.
Councillor Valescu.
If we could amend the motion to something, if Councillor Hull meets the eligibility criteria, we nominate him because he hasn't had the chance to discuss his eligibility for the role, and we don't normally. So I think that'll be a fair, good faith gesture.
Well, it's a little problematic because qualification can be in the eyes of the beholder to some extent. Would you like us to, I don't know, Ms. McKenzie, can we call Councillor Hull back in?
We can call Councillor Hull back in. Essentially, though, even if he does put in an application and he doesn't meet the criteria, then as they go through the recruitment process, then that natural selection will occur anyway.
So it saves us examining the CV. It's been moved and seconded. Question, Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. My question is that I feel very uncomfortable to move the name without knowing whether that person meet up the criteria or has a qualification to sit on that board. That's why I was wondering whether we can adjourn this item until January next meeting so that we can hear from the candidate. From the one who has been Bruce, Councillor Hall, and also to examine it through the background to see whether...
I think we'll find it's time sensitive. Look, it's a 4th of February,
yes.
So we could adjourn. Yeah. Probably better to deal with it now. I'll tell you the chair is inclined to ask Councillor Hall back in, obviously not to take part in the debate, but just to inform us, to help us with the decision. So could someone call, with leave of the meeting, let's call Councillor Hull back in. Thank you. Councillor Hull, you may have heard, but while you were out, the question was raised about the qualifications and experience that the LGA have said is required for the role. You can see those qualifications and requirements on page 276 of the agenda. Would you care to speak to us, maybe just for 1 minute, to highlight your qualifications and experience in stormwater? Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I hope I qualify for length of service on the council. I was a board member of the then Patwalunga Catchment Authority committee that ultimately constructed the Warrapringa wetland. I've been actively involved with the Oaklands wetlands over the years, and in fact was an instigator of the Oaklands wetland and the aquifer recharge. I think I've demonstrated in this place my aptitude towards water management in the city on many occasions, and particularly our relationship with the city of Holfast Bay and the responsibility we have with storm management on the western side of the Sturt River. I think I have a pretty strong record in this place in regards to acknowledging and acting on stormwater issues. Unless there's any specific questions.
I think we can simply absorb that. Thank you. So due to the conflict of interest provisions, I must ask you to, or at least advise you to leave the room again, and we will proceed with our little debate. Thank you. All right, we have a mover and a seconder. Any further speakers? Then I will put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So we can ask Councillor Hull to come back in, please. Page 277, Spinnaker Circuit Reserve. Councillor Hull, motion was carried for your information. Spinnaker Circuit Reserve. Now, this is one I know that I at least will have a question, so perhaps we could invite relevant staff forward. And does any elected member have any question about the report? Councillor Schilling?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just have a couple of questions around the current motion as written in the agenda. Moving, if this was to be passed by council, this motion only at this stage applies for revocation of the land. It doesn't set us in stone who we're selling to, what we're doing with A, B, paths, et cetera, et cetera. Is that correct?
Ms. Viotinetti.
Thank you for the question. Essentially, this motion here talks about proceeding to the next stage of revocation, which is to write to the minister. There is a further report that will need to come back to the council to make a final decision about the revocation and the subsequent intention of the two parcels, noting that council has previously in other council reports indicated their intention. So
just following on from that, Ms. Viotinetti, if council was minded at this time to only consider block A, not block B, then what would be your recommendation in relation to revocation in respect of block B?
Thank you for the question. I suggest that if council isn't firm on a decision on parcel B, that you proceed with revoking the entire parcel, and then at the subsequent report going to council, once we find out from the minister's outcome, making a final decision at that point there. However, if there's a it's up to the elected members tonight, obviously, if they feel that there is a strong consensus that parcel B is something that you do not want to proceed with revoking or selling, then that can be made here as well.
Councillor Schilling.
Just another question, Your Worship. So if we, just to get this on the public record and in all of our heads, if we were to apply for revocation for all of the land tonight, if that this motion passed, we're applying for revocation for the whole block, a further report comes back to the chamber, and then we decide what we are going to do with the relevant pieces, sell, et cetera, even though we've given the intention to sell. If we were to eventually, on that next report, sell part A and retain part B, that doesn't affect anything, does it? We've, even though we've revoked the land, we just won't be paying ourselves rates, correct?
Thank you for the question. And it's important to clarify that in order for us to revoke it, one, the next step is minister's approval, but there is also a step that council has to pass a resolution also.
But tonight we're only applying to get minister's consent to revoke.
That's correct.
And if I may, just one question about the executive summary and the responses to the survey. Down the bottom of page 277, we see that 61 submissions received, 35 support, and I'm using that as shorthand for strongly support or support, 35 support, 22 do not support. Of the respondents who support, 14 live in the distribution area. The item that's not recorded there is the number of respondents who do not support who live within the distribution area. So is it all of that 22 or some proportion of them?
Thank you for the question. Now, just to clarify, I just need to...
There's a table on page 281, if that helps. But I just found it curious that in the summary, one group was split in terms of location and the other wasn't.
So just in terms of the executive summary, the first question was to revoke community land classification, and the second part was in relation to the support of the proposal to dispose. So if you look at the table, what you can find is there is a bit of a discrepancy. I think it's a misunderstanding by the community around to sell. We actually do have to revoke.
And do you say that because looking at the first table question, do you support council's proposal to revoke community land classification of the reserve? You've got, boiling it down, 14 support and 22 against. Are you suggesting that those numbers reflect a misunderstanding?
That is correct, because if you look on the column next door to question number one, which is question number two, do you support the sale of parcel A? You see there's actually 18 that support.
Right, so 18 support, 17 don't support, but there are some people, presumably, who didn't realise that if you're going to sell part A to the school, you'd need to say yes and get agreement to revoke community land classification. Yeah. All right. Well, looking to the... any other questions? Councillor Hull?
Councillor Croslin, I saw his hand fly up. Mr. Mayor, it's just a grammar thing. It was mentioned before, 22 respondents do not support or strongly support the proposal. It seems to be at odds. Like, if you take my point, this is on page 277 towards the bottom. There's no clarity in that. Like, I can understand 22 respondents do not support, but or strongly support the proposal. Well, do they mildly support the proposal if they're not strongly supporting, or?
Well, just checking if we go to the community engagement report, Ms. Vialtonetti, does it actually go into the breakup of support versus strongly support?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Just to clarify that actually when it says 22 respondents do not support or do not strongly do not support, should have been what's there. So
there's a typo there. So it should have strongly do not support.
Yeah, the tables are there. I can see they start from page 292 onwards. Sorry, Councillor Hull, to get back to your query about the executive summary.
Clarified it, Mr. Mayor.
So I just want to make sure that everyone understands. So of the 35 who support or strongly support, 14 are within the distribution area. Of the 22 who do not support or strongly do not support, that's the they're the words that, are missing, they are all in the distribution area, from what I can gather, because those figures 22 and 14 then match up to the table that appears a few pages later in the agenda, page 281. Okay, Councillor Crossland, did you have a question?
Yeah, my question was just around the actual questions asked in the consultation. Isn't asking the public whether we should sell to the school a breach of our policy? Because I thought our policy said that we would sell on the open market to obtain the best value, whereas this suggests that we will not be following that policy and we can just do a little backhand deal to the school. That's how I'd read that consultation.
Thanks for the question, and I'll go to staff for clarification. My recollection, but not to be quoted, is that we actually considered this point at when we were making a previous decision and actually narrowed it down to sale to the school, knowing that they were an interested party, and that has been out in the open. Ms. Violtinetti, can you clarify, please?
Thank you for the question. That is correct. The council policy does have a process. However, when an applicant comes directly to council, council has the ability to make a decision to sell to a particular party based upon market value or decided otherwise by the chamber here tonight.
And even if there was strong staff support for selling to one particular entity, it remains up to the councillors. So, Councillor Crossland, follow up. Councillor Crossland, you need to unmute and start again, please.
Sorry, so the two questions I've got to follow on, if the school just offers something, say a dollar to purchase the land, can they now buy it for that amount, or is that our new policy? That's question number one. And question number two would be, in the literature that went out to the community, would they have realised that by selling to the school would potentially mean that council gets a lot less money for this land? For ratepayers?
Well, I'll go to staff, but I can point out that the question included the phrase to achieve maximum net financial return to council. So a $2 offer by the school no doubt would not get anywhere. And the last decision that council made, which appears on page 279, is that we resolve to get market value from the school. So that does, I think, go to answering the question. And of course, that would be an approach consistent with the policy. Obviously, there's a negotiation where market value might be a certain range. If the school's not within that range, one would not expect staff to agree. In fact, they wouldn't be authorised to agree according to the motion that has been passed. Ms. Violtinetti, can you clarify further, please?
Thank you for the question. Based upon previous council's decision, council has made it quite firm that they are looking at market value or close to market value. So that is the question that Councillor Crosland raised about a $2. That's definitely not something that council's intentions have been, and it wouldn't be something that administration would be able to negotiate. Council's decision is quite firm here.
In the one element I'll add to that, based on the decision of council made on 27th July, is that it was specified that market value would be related to residential zoning value, not community value or recreation value or something else, which is a trap that that we've seen before.
Councillor
Crossland, final question, perhaps?
Yeah, look, I'm still a little confused because market value is usually the best price that somebody will pay on the day. And if that's the case, then it sounds to me as we're not really selling it to the school, we're selling it to whoever pays the best value on the day, which is market value.
Well, the only thing I'd say against that is that there are people whose profession is to value market value of whether it be residential or commercial property. Mr. Haridis might add to that.
Thank you, Mayor. That's the comment I was going to make. On page 282, the top of 282 on the report, which refers the disposal of land and asset policies, also shows that we're required to get that independent valuation to validate that market rate.
Yeah, but that's not my point. My point is that if someone offers 30,000 more than the school, isn't that market value?
I would suggest not, Councillor Crossland. That sounds like it's above market value. But I know what you're saying, that the true test is, you know, have an auction and tell the whole of Adelaide and give them 3 months' notice, advertise it around the world, and you might get a true market value. But it's, you're probably more familiar with the property market than I am, Councillor Crossland, but it's a pretty commonly accepted notion of market value based on valuation. Mr. Haridis, anything more? All right, I think let's proceed. Looking to the ward councillors, Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I will move as printed, based on the advice to answers to questions tonight, that this is applying for revocation of the land. It does not set us in stone to sell A, B to anybody. We can, when it comes back, we can decide to revoke our intention and just keep the land revoked. And we just won't receive rates. Members, previous motions, we have decided to show our intent to sell to the school. They approached Councillor Duncan, myself and Mr. Lyons several years ago now, and it's taken a while to get to this process. If this was to be sold for residential land, I can't speak for Councillor Duncan, but I can speak for myself that I wouldn't support that. I have residents that are very against any form of residential development. They are supportive of a school because it is a community asset, and the school has assured that with the land, they should be able to, there will be playground. The original plan that we saw incorporates playgrounds and play spaces, which would be used to be able to be accessed by the community. So I think this will enhance the area. They have several reserves within 300 and 400 metre walking distance, and the council policy clearly states within a 500 metre walk where possible of each property. So I think that still meets our guidelines. So I move that we move the recommendation tonight based on the fact that we're just applying for revocation. It's not locking us into anything yet, and we'll go from there.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, wish to speak?
I actually support what Councillor Schilling has been saying. It's been a long process, and I think this is the right way to go. And we just wait and see what happens next. And the community does want put the land to be actually sold to the school, but we'll just decide that in the future.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Velescu?
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question. Where would we decide the value if it were to be sold to the school in order to provide a public facility? So, how would we decide as to, okay, market value, if it was for sold to housing, it would be this amount. One would assume if it's sold to the school and they're going to provide a playground accessible for the community, as they say, that the price would be less. So how would we come to that point? I obviously don't want to say,
Councillor Lescu, I think the answer was in the previous motion that you're assuming the residential value of land. If the school's prepared to pay that or close to it, then the deal can be done if this motion is passed. If the negotiations break down, I would expect staff to bring it back to council, because what we are authorising would not then happen. And there are obviously different options that might apply if those negotiations do break down. So, but it is clearly set out. Two valuations are based on market value, assuming residential zoning. So if the school's prepared to pay that, they've got the land.
And my other question is, does the school currently allow the public onto its grounds outside of school hours to use the ovals and things like that?
I'm pretty sure that's a no, but apart from special public events like fetes, etc. So there you go. Councillor Schilling's informing us that the children use the playgrounds, and people do walk through the car park, which is currently the block A of the land we're talking about. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Clancy.
I appreciate Councillor Schilling's view that we don't have to go ahead if the Minister does approve the revocation. But I think that sends the wrong message to the community. It's saying we surveyed you, we didn't listen, so that's why I'm not supporting it.
Councillor Hull.
Well, speaking for it, Mr Mayor, you make a good point earlier that this is going to come back. And if Councillor Crosland's got concerns about the price that we can command for the land, then we'll know about it. We can make our own assessments and vote on that accordingly. What I observe about this is that the luxury of the South, where they've got the opportunity with this land, we don't have that luxury in the North. Stella Maris, which is in my ward, another Catholic school, would love to have the opportunity to do this, but we can't. We just don't have the land. So, you know, it's in a way, they're lucky to have this opportunity, and the school should take it very seriously. And it's actually an opportunity to future-proof the school. It really is. Like, you know, where Stella Maris is stuck with the area they have, and we're working with them to mitigate the constraints and have use of council reserves nearby. But this is a better situation in the South because the land's sitting there. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but I observe that schools are needed in our city, whether they're private. We just dealt with another private school in the North, as you know, about land and the sale of land. And so it's not the first time it happens. And I guess it's fair to say that councils normally have a kinder view towards schools than the opportunity just to do another residential development. Because if you do actually put homes on there, once it's gone, it's gone. And then you're in the same position as Stella Maris. So I'd like to explore it. It doesn't mean, it's not a signal that I'm going to give this land away. Far be that, because the school should be actually acknowledging the great opportunity they have here.
Anyone else speaking against? Then the mover has a right of reply. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I respect where Councillor Clancy is coming from with regards to the numbers. However, 57% of all respondents support the revocation of the land. We shouldn't just limit it to the people in the distribution area. All members of the community have the right to be consulted on a piece of land within the city of Marion, even if they live in Edwardstown, Seaview Downs, and other suburbs that aren't directly impacted by the school. I understand residents closest to that land are impacted the most. However, I am just as entitled to be consulted about Edwardstown when I live down south to someone who lives in Edwardstown to be consulted on something down south. So I believe all members of the community, so 57% of people that responded support the revocation of the land. This doesn't lock us into anything with the school, although we have intent, doesn't lock us into, and as Councillor Hull says, it is a great opportunity for the school. I've been clear, and Councillor Duncan has been clear, that we won't support it for residential land. We are intending for it to be sold to the school. However, that comes to the council. We are met but two votes. There are another 10 voting people around this table. I also want to bring to the attention that the reserve currently and does not and probably will not appear in our open space plan. It is a piece of land that has no plans for the future and does not appear in our endorsed open space plan, which clearly shows that we have no intent to do anything on the land.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now, from the chair, so I'm not entering the debate, but I just wanted to sound one note of caution, not in relation to this survey, which I think was much more targeted, but referring to Councillor Schilling's comments that, you know, the whole of the city should be able to comment. Of course, when we do the electronic surveys through Making Marion and so on, we can get a lot of comments even from outside the city. And I'm mindful that with the previous survey that was done, the previous consultation, that there was a concerted effort from within the school community for a yes vote. And so the democratic right is not in question, but the potential for conflict of interest might be raised in that context. Anyway, we move on. Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club on page 381. Councillor Telfer. You got microphone on, Councillor Telfer? You're saying
was it
that
accidental that
you're saying that Phoenix volleyball was left off.
Volleyball have been left off the list on page 382.
Altonetti.
Thank you for the question. That is correct. Volleyball should have been included as affiliate sport a club at the facility. So thank you for identifying that, Councillor Telfer.
All right. My second question is, can we put into the recommendation, and I suggest we do, the last paragraph of page 382 about the external areas, because that is the contention. I'm happy to speak to that, and I've suggested some words for the board up there.
Well, I'll invite you to move a motion in your preferred form, but perhaps I could just ask Ms. Vialtonetti to comment on that first, if she's able to. Members can see that wording on the screen in the room. Now, members online, are they able to see that? Just need to share the screen, so to speak.
Just confirming that's fine.
Right, so no objection from staff. So Councillor Telfer's moving right, with that
I'll
wording.
Move 1, 2, and 3. And speaking to it, Council is doing this for 2 years and we have very eager centre and club and separate entities, different clubs that are very keen to get their hands back on that liquor licence as soon as they can. And I'm very keen that we delineate from the beginning the intention that is in the report about the external spaces. At the moment, alcohol is being sold from the van beside the scoreboard, and we need to be quite clear with the clubs from the outset what is happening there on those external areas so that it is orderly for council, who has the liquor licence for the building and the verandas. So I so move.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, do you wish to speak? Then is there anyone opposing? I'll simply put the motion then. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that is carried by a majority. Thank you. So we can move on to Warradale Park Tennis Club, page 385. Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to move this motion. I think it was first brought to our attention by you, Mr. Mayor, from my recollection. I have actually spoken to a club official recently, and they're pretty excited about this. The timing is good. They seem to have some focus from at least some federal candidates and maybe state candidates. In this election year, where we've got all three levels of government being contested, it's a great opportunity to seek out that external funding assistance that we need to actually do these sort of projects. So I urge members to consider this to add to our list of projects to put in front of pollies and political aspirants.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor?
Thoroughly support this one. I think this is certainly one that one of those areas in the city that we can do as much work on as we possibly can, and the club will support that in full. So happy to put that one forward.
Thank you. Any questions or speakers against? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not against this project. What I am just concerned about is whether or not we're back to this system of the clubs sort of telling council what we will and won't use as a project. So my question to staff is if we've assessed all these tennis club rooms, and most of them, in fact, some of the ones I've seen are a lot worse than Warradale, why are staff putting this one up first? What's the procedure for all the other clubs, and why is this one first, basically?
Mr. Haridis.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Crossland. As you'd be aware, staff provided an update via EM Forum on the tennis and netball strategy, which fundamentally focused on court numbers, tennis, netball, and multi-purpose. Through that conversation, it was subsequently agreed to undertake effectively a next phase review of the tennis and netball facilities. And that discussion included a focus on club rooms, which wasn't a key feature of the first round of that initiative from 2017. So on that basis, and to your question, that work is being undertaken. So it's not a case that staff went to the list, so to speak, and have pulled this one out ahead of any other groups. There's review work that we've agreed to undertake on advice and direction from council, and we'll progress that work in any event. This particular proposal is one where the club has come to council, they've done some preparation work, and it's now a consideration as to whether council wants to proceed with this particular initiative.
Councillor Crossan.
Yeah, thank you. I do understand that. But we fell into this trap before, and we are trying to say, okay, which one should council fund first? Are you saying that this could be, if we do the review, this could actually be the club room that we would do last, if we did it on merit and building quality? Are you saying we don't actually know where this would come in the pecking order?
Councillor Crossland, thank you for that question. I'm clearly not saying that this could come last. I've made no determination about the state of any of the clubs, and am not in a position to do so this evening as a ranking. However, the club has certainly put forward considerations with this proposal of their needs, and their needs are pretty clearly outlined, some of the improvements that they're wishing to seek, and you could equally just assess the request on the merits of the request.
Could the Mayor just add the strategic currents? I just want to highlight that at the moment. We've got two things happening. One is state and federal elections coming up. Now, that is a motivation to be more urgent about proposals that come to us that are ready rather than half-baked. On the other hand, there's also this strategic planning work being done in relation to our indoor facilities and our facilities, property and facilities generally. The danger in doing strategic work like that is that it becomes very easy to say, let's do nothing until that's finished, and then we can actually start everything from a level playing field, ground zero, whatever. An example, which we might discuss later tonight, was the 2013 master plan for the Marion Precinct. Because it had a $35 million price tag, which that time was 50% of council's annual budget for one project, absolutely nothing happened. And we know there were cases of staff not even applying maintenance because it was said, oh, hang on, you wait till the master plan is carried out. You know, we don't really need to do that maintenance for the time being. So all I'm saying is that let's bear in mind that if we need to do this strategic stuff, but if it becomes an excuse for not doing projects, there could be tragic consequences. And also the logic of that is that all of the major items that we've put forward for potential election funding, we would take off the board if we're being absolutely rigorous and saying, no, we will adopt a strategic priority approach first and then wait for the next election in 3 years' time. We could be doing ourselves out of millions of dollars if we were to take that approach. I know Councillor Crossland makes a good point in relation to this one topic, but it's in that broader picture.
I'm actually echoing the Mayor's own remarks, not probably 4 months ago, where you highlighted that the 12 months leading up to council elections is not the time to start quickly putting on projects for political gain. And that's my worry. And also previously, you've also stated that council should be driving new infrastructure, not clubs. That's where we've fallen down in the past. So I'm just wondering, because I think there's another one coming up with basketball again. It's the tail wagging the dog again. And you've repeatedly gone on record of saying that we shouldn't be doing that. That's not good strategy, not good practice. And here we are again with two projects sneaking in at the last minute with really no major debate or research. And it's as if we're a bit of deja vu happening.
Well, thanks for those comments. I suppose that's more in the nature of debate rather than a question. So let's continue. We've had a mover and a seconder. Is there anyone actually speaking against? Councillor Vlescu? Questions? Well, my short answer would be it just doesn't work that way. But who would like to answer? In other words, how could we get people to fund things where they don't want to fund them? That's what I'm hearing, but maybe Mr. Harrison can answer that better.
Thank you for the opportunity to provide a response. So my sense is that it is wise to try and be as strategic as we can and prioritise, and hence that's why we're investing so much effort into the Compass Master Plan or the roadmap or the blueprint, whatever you like to refer to it as well as incorporating sports and facilities in its entirety into that to prioritise over an extended period of time. I think the comment's been well made tonight, though, that you can't exclude opportunities as they come along, and we do have election cycles every 4 years at a state level. So I think this is trying to get two processes to be complementary in nature and ensure that we don't exclude potential funding opportunities and hence an ability to improve amenities for community whilst we're going through these cycles every 4 years or so. So I'd like to hope they're complementary, I accept, though, it's not exact science from a sense of prioritisation and equity across the entirety of the city, but I think we have to try and be agile enough to try and move and have complementary processes operating side by side.
I'm sorry, Councillor Valeska, that's probably as good an answer as you'll get. What was your other question? You want to hear from Mr. Haridis? Mr. Haridis, can you expand, tell us what the Chief Executive Officer left out? Thank you.
I'll echo those points firstly, and just perhaps particularly to your point, Councillor Valeska, I'd add that year on year there are multiple grant funding program opportunities that strongly align with our program. So you have to take the opportunities that present themselves and that are unique in elections. However, I think this council has shown year on year that it positions itself well with its strategic work and then puts forward either the items not funded or has a mechanism by which to seek funding for other proposals. So I think there's a way to balance the equation through our regular work.
Councillor Valeska? Well, are you speaking against? Well, I think we should follow the normal procedure. Is anyone else speaking against? Because otherwise I'll just go back to the mover to, well, there's really nothing to close. I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It is unanimous in the end. So thank you. We'll move on to the code amendment, Marion Road Urban Corridor, Department of Infrastructure and Transport has communicated with us, as you can see there, recommends that we just put this on hold, take a more selective approach. Councillor Telfer.
Following on from the Development and Planning Committee, I so move that we put this on hold.
That's what the committee recommended. Is it seconded, Councillor Clancy? Anyone against? Question, Councillor Hall.
Did we ever reach any resolution about the boundaries of this? Like, obviously, in the north, it starts tram line, but there was always ambiguity about where it finished in the south as you get closer to Sturt Road. Did we ever come to an understanding about where...
Councillor Hall, we did resolve it, and a couple of years back when we put an amendment to the minister at the time, well, probably 3 years ago, we included the bit around Finner Street, Alaruna Avenue, and that indeed was one of the reasons that the minister at the time said you need to consult further. Since then, the entire landscape has changed in terms of planning law. So the department is saying go and take a more focused approach rather than look at the whole road. And I'm paraphrasing, but there was an extensive discussion at the committee along those lines. So that's the suggestion. Did you want to have any further questions?
Oh, no. Well, I thought that discussion was more recent than that, and we were talking about extending it down to Sturt Road.
Down to Sturt Road. So that was what we were going to write to the minister about. Thank you, Mr. Harrison. So your recollection is correct there, Councillor Hull. I was thinking back to the previous DPA or attempted DPA, but we were going to write to the minister and extend it to Sturt Road, but this is a completely different approach. Rather picking out individual sites that might be worthy of special consideration rather than trying to change the zone across the length of Marion Road. All right. So it's been moved and seconded. No one against. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So here's a curious report. Southern Soccer Facility opening event. Telling us that we'll get a running sheet. I mean, I'm really not sure why this comes to council. Ms. McKenzie, can you help?
Through the chair, this one came to council because it was in the previous report that we would come back.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that is, I can't argue with the logic. but maybe it didn't need to be in the previous report. Okay, well, we can't just ignore it. So let's vote to have a running sheet for the event. Councillor Schilling. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. Anyone against? Then let the running sheet run. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. On a winner there, absolute winner. Page 429, CCTV, dumping, etc. It's really just to note the report. As members can see, it took a number of years to get this going, but we have actually started using CCTV now. Perhaps I'll just ask any questions, Councillor Vlescu. So the question is, what's the staff policy in relation to signage and enforcement to different types of dumping? Who would like to speak to that? Mr. Troop coming forward.
Evening through the chair. Yes, the signage goes up to notify people that we are filming this potential CCTV area.
Councillor Vlescu, anything further? All right. Councillor Hull.
We have the new staff member from across the pond alongside me here. I'd like to know what his experiences are with CCTV in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, I managed the Traffic Coordination Centre for Tauranga, so we had a network of about 1,800 CCTVs, a video wall of about 22 metres wide with a team of 15 who manned it 24/7.
But I'm talking more in relation to, you know, dump rubbish and...
Oh, for this, this type of thing, obviously not on a smaller scale. Whitsundays, we had a similar type issue with Sunday Regional Council, so we set up a range of cameras up there to capture this exactly the same thing.
They work?
And they work, yeah. They're a deterrent. They don't, just the signs themselves often provide enough of a deterrent that people can get caught, and word soon gets out that once the CCTV cameras catch a couple, we find that they are very, very effective.
Very important proviso. Once a couple of people are actually nabbed,
yep,
word does spread. Other questions, members? Councillor Clancy.
We have other sites identified and if we can expand the program.
Is that intended, Mr. Troop?
I would be open to suggestions if we sort of see prevalence of other dumping sites come through. It's certainly an option we can look at.
Elected members, there's an invitation. Send your suggestions through. Maybe not now. Maybe more covertly with an email tomorrow. Mr. Harrison.
Thank you, through the chair. Can I also just add for council, though, we are putting a more centralised cloud-based system in place. So through enhancement of our digital programs, CCTV attached to community and sports centres, as well as other areas across council, we're looking to actually centralise that all back to a central repository. So we could potentially monitor anywhere, anytime, on any device, any of our banks of CCTVs as we expand the network across the city at the same time.
Possible, Mr. Mayor, to have some place near my front gate during the election period to watch out for illegal signage going up my front gate.
I might come there for 5 minutes myself, Councillor Hull. All right, there being no further questions, move to note the report, Councillor Vlescu, seconded Councillor Mason. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to the corporate and CEO KPI report, page 434. I can say that there was a good discussion about these things in the review and selection committee meeting. Perhaps, Mr. Harrison, did you want to comment at all?
Thank you. I'm certainly happy to take any questions, maybe by exception if people have had a chance to look at the report. Just to add that the two areas that we have not met are KPI targets and the utilisation of TeamGauge. And if you look at the reports in their entirety, you can see that we've had some really good participant rates and not so good participation rates in different areas of the organisation. And in relation to asset utilisation of facilities, we are hopeful that when we do eventually, which I'd like to hope is in the next 12 months, get a more centralised booking platform system, it'll give us better ability to monitor for the benefit of scheduling and booking, as well as monitoring the engagement and usage of facilities. So I'd like to hope we would get a more accurate, up-to-date measure and KPIs in that particular area as well. Happy to take any other questions.
Councillor Clancy.
This is probably discussed in Review and Selection Committee, but I'm just wondering what the discrepancy was with people and culture and IT having a poor engagement rate. I'd imagine that they'd be in a better position to fill out the survey than outdoor staff or operational staff.
The general comment would be the changeover of staff. This is a point in time. I understand it was September that we were actually seeing the results here for, so they are delayed. In both of those areas, we had a number of significant changes in staff. We had some external contractors and temp people working in people and culture, and we had a number of vacancies in the DTP area of IT and some other areas. So we think it's probably more reflective of that point in time, which I'd like to think if we were to do it again today would be very different, because we've now stabilised to some extent in those areas as well.
Councillor Telfer.
My question was about number five, asset renewal funding ratio. Where it says this is an annual measure and is budgeted to achieve 100%, which is within the core target, what's the expectation in terms of when that 100% might be achieved?
I might need to get some assistance here, but I think it is in alignment with our 10-year long-term financial plan, but I will, if I can, just seek some support. Thank you.
Well, thank Mr. Barnwell, I mean, this ratio bobs up and down a bit like a roller coaster, and the suggestion was made to me by a staff member that perhaps a five-year rolling average might be more helpful to us to understand how the renewal of assets is going. Mr. Barnwell, can you advise?
Yep, thank you, through the Chair. The asset funding renewal ratio, just so people understand, is if we got our own asset management plans that we're going to do $20 million worth of works, the renewal ratio says that if we don't achieve that, if we have projects that carry over or get delayed or whatever else, that would impact that ratio, because that funding will be carried over the next year. And that's why probably the Mayor refers to that rolling average. Our target is that we do 100% of we do between 90 and 110% of our programmed capital works. And there is times when that does get skewed because things get retimed or delayed. So, you know, having the longer term view on that might be more appropriate, as the Mayor has alluded to.
Councillor Telfer, is that all right?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Hull.
The staff injury issue, that's been removed. Am I correct?
It's been removed from a corporate KPI, but it's still being closely monitored. Ms. McKenzie?
Yeah, that's correct. Council resolved not to include it within CEO KPIs last year. However, we still report it every month to council.
If I can just please add, sorry, Councillor, if I can please add, I think I'm correct in saying as of today, for the entirety of this financial year, we still have no lost time injuries, and we're starting to get down to the lowest level for recent years in relation to injuries in the workplace.
Very good. Councillor Hull?
Number eight, community engagement and communications. I still struggle how this is 100% when we've had some issues enough to
engage a consultant to help us with community engagement. And I'm just wondering how this can be an accurate record of how we're going with community engagement.
Well, Councillor, just remember it's quarterly. So you're sort of going back the last 3 months, more or less. And there may not have been any stuff-ups in the last 3 months. I should say that the your concerns about any past consultations aren't necessarily related to having a consultant come in on a short-term basis to see how things might be improved. But I'd invite staff to add any other comments.
I will undertake to get some further detail, but my understanding certainly is that it is about focused on the quantity of responses through engagement of community consultation, not necessarily picking up the subjectivity of what you may be alluding to in relation to quality and whether we pick the right number, the right street, the right median to utilise for communication. I think that's somewhat secondary to this measure. This is rather more focused on the fact of the success or otherwise of an engagement approach and responses. As I suggest, I think there is that qualitative subjective component that would be a deeper dive.
Well, yes, I think if I may respectfully beg to differ with the Chief, I think there is a qualitative component here, but could that be taken as a question on notice to provide Councillor Hull and the rest of us with further detail? Thank you. Anything else? I'll have questions, then straightforward motion. Who would like to move that? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Moved as printed. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer? Oh, Councillor Mason? Thank you. No further comment. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, we've got three confidential items. You know, it's always a bit hard to predict how the discussion is going to go, but each of them do relate to expenditure proposals, some of them very significant. So to be on the safe side, you may wish to move those three en bloc. Councillor Valescu, is that seconded? Councillor Telfer? Councillor Hull, you've got a question?
The confidentiality issue for the boardwalk, Mr. Mayor, is there any way that we can conduct the meeting? And there's two parts to what I'm asking you. Conduct the meeting and the minutes in terms of having some transparency and coverage by the community. In other words, if we can redact the financials in some way.
Councillor Hull, as you know, it's in two parts. Before the item is debated, we have to think about what might be discussed. Now, in this case, there are dollar figures to be discussed, and also the procurement process has not yet been completed. So we might be hearing from staff about the procurement process, which wouldn't be appropriate to share in public. I mean, procurement processes, while they're happening, are never shared in public. So that's the difficulty that we as a group have in relation to that one. Then, of course, the second phase is after the discussion, we have generally minutes, we have a report from staff, and we have perhaps additional documents, such as we do in this case. So then the question is what can be released and whether it can be released with redaction. So there may be more scope for what you're talking about when it comes to release of information after the meeting. That's my advice, but I'm in the hands of council. If you want to have an open discussion about it, then we'll just have to be extremely careful in what we have to say, and we won't really be able to discuss procurement or cost, which is what the report's about.
Well, I take your point completely, Mr. Mayor, but I think it's just unfortunate that everything has to be done in confidence when there is a great deal of public interest in this. I take your point about the procurement and our responsibilities with that on the ratepayers' behalf.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand that. And you know, as we all do, that we have to rely. We can only go into confidence if it's justified by one of the reasons given in Section 90 of the Local Government Act. And public interest, no matter how passionate, no matter how concerned or how justified, isn't actually one of those reasons to go into confidence or stay out of confidence. We have to be bound by the legislation. Otherwise, we can obviously get into trouble, as you've acknowledged. Thank you.
So, I mean, if you can just take a note that when we do get to the issue of how we deal with the minutes, that I will be raising.
In relation to each of these three items coming up, we should deal with, as I have adopted more often than not in the past, we will deal with the substance of the issue, and then as Chair, I'll split off the confidentiality aspect so we can have a separate discussion about that so it doesn't cloud our substantive discussion. That's what I'll recommend. As always, it's actually up to Council as a whole to make that decision. Well, in relation to those, we've had moved that we go into confidence in those three items. Is that seconded? Councillor Mason, or did you have someone? Oh, Councillor Telfer went into. No, she came. To, okay. Oh, yeah, Councillor Mason did. That's right. I'm just Councillor Mason seconded. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. So that's carried by majority. Thank you. So we actually have to, because we have members online, we actually need to, technically speaking, start another meeting. So I make the time on my big screen in front of me 7:53. So I suggest a 5-minute adjournment. We'll resume at 7:58 in confidence. Thank you.